Are we listening? Amen. So today, you know, we've been talking about a lot about transition, a lot about the word of the Lord and hearing God and change and the importance of following the Lord. And so when I prayed and asked the Lord what to teach on today, he wanted me to teach on that we can hear his voice and how to hear his voice. Four keys on how to hear the voice of the Lord. And so when you practice this, you'll find just consistent, powerful, life-giving conversations with God. And that's what we need. We live in a day and an age that is married to rationalism and cognitive analytical thought. And so, you know, to say that you hear from the Lord is almost mocking from people around you because they don't understand that we can actually hear the voice of the Lord. And I was thinking about this, you know, many people hear voices in their head and they're not from God. You know, it's a mental health illness and they end up in a clinic or something trying to quiet those voices. And so in the mental health world, when I was in my graduate program at Grace, that was the thought. And anything about, you know, the Holy Spirit and the activation of gifts and anything like that, it's a Christian college, but it was very much discouraged whatsoever. And at least by the staff at that time, I can't say it, that it is still that way. And so because there's a confusion about, there's a huge difference between the two. Somebody say amen. God's thoughts do not cause you to have the confusion. And he silences all that confusion. You know, the wisdom from above is first peaceable. And so, and then I thought about, if you're a writer and you sit down to write, what is in your head? A bunch of thoughts and voices. And that's what you're writing and putting onto a piece of paper. But nobody critiques or criticizes that. You know, and so just recognizing God does speak to us. And we should always be having a two-way conversation with the Lord. And my computer is just being weird this morning. So in history, there are men and women in the Bible that heard God's voice. And there are also highly effective, respectable men and women today that hear God's voice. And so today, we're going to just take a look at how that affects us, because it actually creates a deeper hunger inside of us when we can commune with God and when we can hear him speak in our hearts. And so to experience the divine communication between us and him, our heart has to be cultivated. And we have to be in a place where we're willing to listen. And we're able to listen. It's like the video said, there's so much noise around us. Have you noticed? Isn't everything like grabbing for your time and attention? It's like everything just tries to pull you in. So learning to have a conversation with God will bring intimacy into your Christian experience and transform the way you live. And this is an anonymous, written by someone anonymous, but he said, a man can never be the same after hearing God's truth spoken in the power of God's Holy Spirit. He will either obey and go forward or ignore and die a little. You know, God hasn't bowed to our fast-paced culture, and he has not embraced all the methods of our modern age. But the person who wants to know God in a deeper personal way must give him time. How many times do we say, I just don't have time? So we're going to take a look into Habakkuk 2:1-2. And we'll bring some other scriptures in, but this is the main part that we're talking about today. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So we're going to take a look at this. And a rampart is a physical barrier that protects a city. It could be a wall. It could be an embankment. But the Bible talks about watchmen on the wall. Have you ever heard that term? It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. So key number one is we have to learn to recognize God's voice. God's voice in our hearts sounds like a flow of spontaneous thoughts. And so when we tune into God, it's a time of spontaneity. It's a time of getting into what we call a flow. And I don't know if you've ever read secular stuff on flow, but flow is really interesting. All of us have been in flow in different ways, because when you're in flow, you're doing something that you really enjoy and you're not even really thinking about it. Okay, you're just in it. Has anyone ever experienced that? I always love to groom dogs because you just get into the flow. And it's like, I call it the no-brainer stuff. It's just you do it, you know. It's an automatic thing that you do. And you can totally think about other things, be studying something else in your head while you're doing that. Have you experienced that? That happens when you have a hobby, you know, something that you're really good at, you really love to do. But that's getting into flow. And so the Bible says in Habakkuk is that the Lord answered him. And so that tells me that he recognized his voice. And you know, Elijah described God's voice as a small voice. And when I first heard about, you know, God speaking to me, I wondered if it was an audible voice. And sometimes it is, but usually it's not. And when we offer a class called Ministering Spiritual Gifts, and it is an excellent course written by Dr. Bill Hammond, and it just activates and teaches you all different kinds of ways to hear God's voice in your life. And so when I took that class, it was like, wow, you know, it's not always the way you think it is. God speaks to us in many different ways. But I found out that most of the time, the inner voice comes to me in just spontaneous thoughts, visions, feelings, or impressions. And something else I noticed right away is that the thoughts didn't come this way. The thoughts came this way, from my spirit man, from my inner man. I could feel that flowing. It wasn't like pushing this way, because that's my soul. You've got to learn to recognize, okay, this is my soul pushing me to do this, to say this. You know, I'm going to take care of this type attitude. And then when it's a logical thought, all of the reasoning that goes on in our head, we can't even begin to count all the reasoning that goes on in our head during the day. And reasoning is good in situations, but when we're hearing God, we got to get into the flow. It's from the heart. It's from watching God. So let's go on. So this is an example that most of you will be able to relate to. You're driving down the road, or you're doing something, and all of a sudden, this name comes to you, a person comes to you, and you know God wants you to pray for them. Who's that happened to? Yeah, and so that's that spontaneous thought that just comes from the Lord. Here it is. In the Bible, the definition for intercession is paga. And the Hebrew word for intercession, it means this. It's a chance encounter or an accidental intersecting. So when God lays people on our hearts for intercession, he does that through paga. It's a chance encounter, a chance thought. You know, and it's intersecting our thought processes. And therefore, when I tune into God, I tune into that chance encounter, those thoughts, those spontaneous thoughts. Does that make sense? Am I making sense to you? That's always important when I'm teaching. So when I'm poised quietly in God's presence in prayer, you know, I have found that flow, just spontaneous thoughts that comes, is just quite definitely from God, you know. And so anyway, we're going to go on. But I did want to warn this one thing. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And so we need a place of accountability. If you're going to really get activated in hearing from the Lord and begin to write down what the Lord is sharing with you, you need to run that by people who are more mature and advanced in understanding things of the Spirit. And also, there's a man named Dr. Mark Verkler, and he's written a lot on hearing from God. He really encourages people, if you have not read the Bible at least once through, don't trust what you're hearing. And if you're not in the Word on a daily basis, you cannot necessarily trust what you're hearing. Do you hear me? God speaks to us through His Word. His Word is the change agent in our life. And when we read the Word of God, it transforms us and renews our mind. The Word is so important in our lives. It feeds our spiritual being. And so we need to have at least a basis in the Bible. You're going to hear from God. I'm not saying you're not going to hear from God. But when you hear and you don't have that foundation, you could be led astray by your own heart's desires and emotions and what you want. Somebody say amen. Has anybody ever been led astray by their own flesh and their own thoughts? Yes, we all have. And so just recognizing there is a place of accountability. Okay, so the second key is learn to quiet our flesh and minds. And in Psalm 46:10, it encourages us to be still and know that He is God. And that's what Habakkuk said when he first started out, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart." In other words, I'm going to get in a place where I'm alone and I can just focus in on the Lord. So to hear the still small voice, we must be in a quiet place and still our own thoughts and emotions. Now, here at the church, we used to have a soaking room, and some of you may remember that. We had a soaking room for quite a while. And in that soaking room, music was playing, and we had mats, and we had chairs, and you could go in, and you could just kneel down to pray, or you could lay out on a mat just to get in the presence of the Lord. And teaching people how to soak, it takes about 20 minutes for your mind to stop racing. And your mind brings good things, and the Holy Spirit might bring something up that you need to repent of. But when we're in trying to get into that place, it's like if something comes up that you need to repent of it and release it to the Lord and let it go. Because there's a deeper place that God wants to take you. And it takes a while for everything to shut down. The more you do it, the quicker you get. Hallelujah, because you learn to train your mind. I always, in counseling, I always teach your mind is like a wild child. You've got to put it on a chain, and you've got to jerk it back once in a while. Hello, because my mind will just go. Hey, where are you going? Get back here. Does that happen to other people? Yeah. So Habakkuk knew that in order to hear God's quiet, inner, spontaneous thoughts, he had to first go to a quiet place, still his own thoughts and emotions. Psalm 46:10 encourages us, like I said, be still and know that I'm God. So I'm going to read through what happened to Elijah, because he wanted to hear from God. And God told him, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So I found several different ways to quiet myself. But the one that I love the most is prophetic worship music. If a song, I can listen to instrumental music, but if, and the words aren't on it, but if I know the words, then I'm singing them instead of instead of quieting myself. My mind is trying to remember the next verse, you know. And the same thing happens even with instrumentals, and I don't know the words. Songs have different chord progressions, and I'm laying there wondering, what is, you know, I bet the next chord progression is a G, you know. And so it's just like your mind starts going when you have music theory, and you start following that. So prophetic worship music is music that is played spontaneously, and it goes where the musician wants to go, and you're not sure where it's going to go, and so you just rest in God, and I can get there quicker. And it just reminds me in 2 Kings 3:15, a musician was called for. And when that musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. And this was about King Saul. It just calmed him. The hand of the Lord came on him as that musician just spontaneously prayed. So, stilling our thoughts, getting in that quiet place, we have to recognize once again if we're feeling guilty about something, if we're condemning ourselves of something. The scripture says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The scripture says if we repent of our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And you know what? The Lord has a robe of righteousness for us. You know, we can repent and then let the Lord clothe us with the garments of salvation. God has spiritual clothes for you. You know that? I did a research paper on how God clothes us. You know, my professors are like, what? We never had a paper like this before. I said, well, I'm a woman, and you only teach men, so here. But God likes to dress us up in the Spirit. He's got some pretty cool clothes for us if we will let him. You know, we take off that old stuff. You know, you're always glad to get rid of the old stuff and get new stuff in the natural. Hey, God has the best clothes for us. And if we get in his presence, we can just let him put on those robes of righteousness and those garments of salvation. He'll put on a garment of praise on us for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. He's got a remedy for everything. God never left us without a remedy. All right. So learn to still your thoughts and emotions. In Isaiah 61:10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So focus on Jesus is the next point, and become quiet in his presence. And this is the principle. If you focus on the desires of your heart, the intuitive flow of thoughts will come out of your desires. And it will be an impure flow. To have a pure flow, you must first become still. And secondly, you have to focus your eyes on Jesus. No preconceived ideas. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 2:2, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So as we fix our gaze on Jesus and become quiet in his presence, then we'll find that there's a two-way dialogue that begins to flow between us and him. And we're actually conversing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a beautiful experience And it's very important, like I said, that we're still and we're properly focused if we want to receive a pure word from God. So it's getting rid of all of your own desires, your thoughts, and by the way, how you think God should have worked this situation out, or how you've got it all planned for it to happen. Instead of praying your agenda or thinking about your agenda, it's surrendering. It's totally letting go of everything. Because when you totally let go of everything, then God can bring in what he has. You know, even with what God is doing within the ministry, you know, he said he's doing a new thing. Watch it spring forth. We don't want to take an old thing in with the new thing. God establishes us, and all of that comes with us. But we can bring in some old mindsets, some old ideas, like, well, this isn't the way we used to do it. And I don't like this. Well, God likes to mess with your comfort. And I shared with the A-team this morning, when God is doing a new thing, he's going to do his new thing. And he's not going to ask you permission if it's okay. Remember, our two words at River of Life is yes, Lord. If that's what you want to do and that's the way you want to do it, then that's what we'll do. Yes, Lord. We're with you, God. Because God has the best plan. Man's plans will fail, but the scripture says God's plans will come to pass. And that's whose plans we want. So, like I said, we can have our minds so made up on something and how it's supposed to happen in a certain way that we do not even give God space for his will and his plan to come to pass in our lives. You know, and the reason we do that is because we like to be in control. Because if we're in control, then we feel secure. Okay? We've got all these boundaries up, we're in control, and we're protecting ourselves. And when you begin to get into the unknown and you don't have control, it can be frightening. Somebody say amen. So we have to ask the Lord, who's directing my life? We sing, I surrender all, and then it's like, yeah, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and we never even prayed or asked. Is this on the agenda, God? People are funny. We say one thing and do another. So, and then the prayers too that are praying stories, or praying how things are supposed to turn out. You know, we need to lay all that down at the Lord's feet. I call them story prayers. We're telling God the story and how we think the ending should come. Okay, third key, learn to focus on Jesus with the eyes of your heart. So as we fix our hearts on Jesus, we begin to see in the Spirit and begin to have dreams and visions. Can have open visions. With the eyes of my heart, I will see in the Spirit and dreams and visions of Almighty God. Ephesians 1:18, this is a verse that we pray over the church, over our members. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. The eyes of our hearts need to be enlightened. And the eyes of our heart is the inner person's ability to see and understand things that are spiritual rather than physical. Has anybody said, Lord, I just want to see in the Spirit. I just want to see that. That's a desire most people have. And it's obvious that the eyes always have to do with seeing something. But once again, since we're not talking about physical eyes, it's the eyes of our heart, we're talking about the invisible. It's about seeing something in the spirit realm. And what happens, the eyes of our heart become enlightened. And the Greek word translated for enlightened is in a perfect passive participle, and it's photizo. And it to enlighten is to shine a light on something so it can be seen. And by the use of the passive voice here, Paul lets us know that it's not something that we can do ourselves. It's something which must be done to us by someone else. So our prayer is always open the eyes of our heart, Lord. The Apostle Paul was praying for God to open the eyes of the heart, that we would be enlightened, that he would begin to shine his light on us, and we would begin to see into the spirit realm. And remember, Habakkuk said, I will keep watch to see. And God told him to write the vision and make it plain, to record it. And so it's interesting that Habakkuk was going to actually start looking for the vision when he prayed. And this is just been the way I always pray. I'm always looking in the spirit to see what God is doing. Jesus didn't do anything except what the Father told him. So when we come together and when we're worshiping, I'm always looking in the spirit, because I believe when the church, the ecclesia, comes together, we come together for the Father's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. It's not about us coming together to sing our favorite song and to feel good, although that happens. Our assignment as the church is to come together and fulfill the Father's business. He's got business for the church to do. The church is the one that has authority over all the power of the enemy. The church is the one that the scripture says the gates of hell will not prevail against. The church is the one that's called to heal the brokenhearted, set the captive free, and cast out devils. We're the ones with the authority. Hallelujah. And we're not giving that up to someone else or to some government organization, because it's the church's assignment. And God is doing a new thing. He's calling the church to arise and fulfill the call that he has placed upon it. And the purpose for it in the earth is to be a mighty force to be reckoned with. Come on. Jesus. And the church is awakening across America. People are standing up. It's good that people are feeling so much freer to share the gospel and to talk about Jesus Christ. And worship is going on in the Pentagon, and worship is going on in the White House. Hallelujah. And we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has opened a door of opportunity for the church. Whether you like President Trump or not, he is a gatekeeper, and he has opened that door. And just because we didn't like his personality, we'd be crazy not to cooperate. Come on. The church's Christians' attitudes really need to be focused on God. What are you doing? Because we see in the natural, but what are you doing in the spirit? Because this is a time of divine opportunity, a time of divine grace. Chuck Pierce taught a message up at Barbara Yoder's, I think, last weekend, and he talked about the season that we are in is divine grace, and God is moving supernaturally like he has never moved before. And so our hearts need to be right before God. Our hearts need to be right with people. And the Lord says, pray for our leaders. So we pray for our leaders, and we say yes to the Lord, and we keep moving forward. And we thank God for the open doors of opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's an amazing time to be alive, because we are in the end of the end days, is what Bishop says. And so we have an assignment. You know, we don't want to get too caught up on this and that, but we have an assignment. Lord, what's our assignment? We need to gaze at Jesus so he can speak to us about what he has for us. So the eyes of our hearts are used to see into the spirit realm. There's a lot going on in the spirit realm, always around us. And like I said, that's what I've always looked for in prayer. And I realized you don't think of some things when you just do them naturally, right? But I was asked to do a prayer walking seminar with another minister who's an awesome prayer walker. And what I realized when he was teaching, his focus is all, he would gather information of what was going on in a region based upon what he saw. And I tend not to look at what I see in the natural. I'm always looking in the spiritual to see, because God will reveal the principalities and powers and what their assignments are, what their schemes are against his people. As you look at Jesus and you look into the spirit realm, he opens the eyes of my heart to see that. And so, anyway, I didn't realize there was such a difference in how I go about prayer walking and how he went about prayer walking. And they're both good. Neither one are bad. Put the two together and you've got a pretty dynamic duo. Because it is important. But anyway, to watch. Watch. Look to see what is going on in the spirit realm. There's angels, there's demons, there's the Holy Spirit. There is the Lord Jesus Christ. There are angels. There are seraphims. There are, you know, you start reading about the creatures in heaven. Hallelujah. I can't even imagine all the faces on them and fiery. And, you know, it's like someday we'll get there to see it all, because there's just no way you can put it into words. I don't even know if our mind can even begin to fathom all of that. But another prophet that was always watching is the prophet Daniel. And I'd encourage you to read through chapter 7. This is just a few things out of that, because Daniel was seeing a vision in his mind in this chapter, and he kept watching. He didn't look away. He kept looking to see what was going on. And so in verse 2, it says, Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night. And verse 9, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days came and sat down. Hallelujah. And Daniel 7:13, I was watching in the night visions. Watching is a key. It's a key. Focusing on Jesus and watching for what we will see. And you know, God is always with us. In Matthew 1:23, he's called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so God is always with us. We can look. Jesus is always with us. God is always with us. We can look to see him. Hallelujah. And it's really as simple as that. You'll see a spontaneous inner vision in a manner just that is similar to just spontaneous inner thoughts. But when they come from the Spirit of God, when they come from Jesus, it's a pure flow. And that's why you've got to write it down. Write it down. Because when you write it down, you can go back and look at it later. Because the number one key that the devil will use against us, Satan's effective weapon against the church, is doubt. We begin to doubt. We doubt if we really heard it. We doubt if we really understood it. But when you write down the word of the Lord that God has given you, you find out that, and you compare it with Scripture, and you run it by accountability, and you just look at that, and you're just amazed that God shared that with you. And so that increases your faith that you are hearing from God. So the key is, write it down. Write it down and go back and pray it and look at it and study it. Because God continually wants to reveal himself to his covenant people. And he does that in dreams and visions. And he's done that from Genesis to Revelation. And ever since the Holy Spirit's been poured out, we're going to read that. It's power in the Word of God. It's anointed, right? Acts 2:1-4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And on verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And God's poured out his Spirit. And he's still doing it today. And Jesus is our perfect example, because he demonstrated that he did nothing except for what he saw his Father do. In John 5, I'm going to read the word. It's important to read the word. 5:19-20. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And so you see, Jesus is our perfect example. And what an incredible way to live. Somebody say amen. So, you know, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection gave us access to the immediate presence of God. In Luke, it says, then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And we have access to come to the Father because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to read another verse. Hebrews 10:19-22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Thank you, Lord. And it was Luke 2:49 that Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. So he was always focused on what God was doing. So, you know, this teaching might be a little unusual for our 21st century culture. But it's demonstrated over and over, and it's a central biblical theme in the scripture, that we can hear God's voice, that he will teach us and he'll show us the way. One more key, and then we'll close. We have to learn to enter into the flow of the Spirit, and that's what you do when you have your journal. When you start to write your journal, and you start to write down what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, then you're fulfilling what God told Habakkuk, to record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. And so it's important to write it down and to pray over it and to look at that and to go back to it and test it and examine it carefully, making sure that it lines up with the scripture. And you know what? If we're off, God will show us. It's so many times people don't write down because they just start to tell themselves, they start to reason it away, they start to doubt, well, that's not really God, that's just me. Well, you know what? If it is just you, write it down anyway, because you're going to realize that when you read it back. Oh, yeah, that was just me. It's not the end of the world if it was just you. And these are how we learn things. This is how we grow and gain that momentum in the Holy Spirit. We're all growing. Somebody say amen. John 10:27-28 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, one of the best ways, I think, to start writing is to ask the Lord a question. And a lot of times I'll encourage people, what did God say about that? Did you ask God what he said? Let's go to the Lord and let's ask Jesus what he says about this. And in that, we can hear from the Lord. Start to write down what you're hearing. I'm looking for a file. I was wanting to read something to you. Here it is. And this is something that the Lord gave me on November 25th, 2024. It was right after the first organization group that came in and said they wanted to buy the church. It was right after they had pulled their offer. They took it off the table. And most of you journeyed with us. You know, that all began the end of August. And here it's the end of November. And so we had been working towards moving all that time. And that was our focus. The Lord said, we're going to move. And he's going to sell the building. And so, anyway, I was feeling a lot of pressure. And this is what I wrote. In prayer this morning, I asked the Lord about all the pressure I was feeling. And I heard the Lord say, you're putting it on yourself. I'm here, and I'm in your future, and I've gone before you to prepare the way for you and the church. This is your season, and this is your time, and nothing will or can stop my plans for you. Remember, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I am aligning the right people around you for this season, and together you will advance my kingdom. And take the gospel into all the world. Your inheritance is the nations. I am the God of the breakthrough, and I'm breaking down the dividing walls that you could not see. Come to me, draw close to me, depend on me, and I'll supply all your needs. It isn't too big, and it isn't too much. Ask me and seek me, and keep knocking on the doors of opportunity with thanksgiving and with prayer. You have not seen or experienced in your lifetime what I'm going to do.
Amen.
It is your time of breakthrough, and harvest is yours to eat from, to bless with, and to enjoy. Don't get bogged down with the details. You're called to carry the vision that I've asked you to carry. And I'm placing capable people around you to lift it higher. And I saw, in the spirit, I saw a group of people moving forward on a road, holding up what the Lord has given us. And it looked like a cloud above us. And it was lifted high above everything. And it was dominant in the picture. And with their hands in the air, moving forward, carrying the glory of the Lord that is being poured out like rain in this season. The Lord said, the drought is gone for you and those who help you. And then I heard the Lord say, the plan of God is prominent. The plan of God is prominent. And I looked up the definition of prominent, and it says, standing out so as to be seen easily, particularly noticeable, standing out beyond the adjacent surface or line, protecting or projecting, leading, important, or well known. I also restudied what the scripture means, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And in my commentary, it says the violent take it by force is not literal violent people, but their eagerness to see the coming of the Messiah was so overwhelming that it was as if they were attacking a city and beating down the doors to enter. It is a graphic picture of the enthusiasm and excitement generated by John the Baptist and Jesus' teaching. People were hungry for truth and would not be kept away. Nothing could hold back the flood of people pressing into the kingdom. So the Lord says to us, remember the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And I believe what he's saying is we should be hungry for truth. And there are more hungry people for truth and for his presence. And we are to continue to lift up the vision, lift up the word of the Lord, and lift his banner of truth high and keep marching and moving forward, carrying the glory of the Lord. Jesus. We are glory carriers. I submitted this to Apostle Leon right after I got it, and he got right back with me, and he said, that's the word of the Lord to you in the church, and that's what you're to pray, and that's what you're to intercede over, because that is God's heart. And so you see, that has brought so much life. In the midst of so much that has gone on since that time, we've had quite a journey and quite a walk. But God. God's about to do something that we've never experienced in our lifetime. And Apostle Leonard and I have experienced a lot of things. Hallelujah. So I'm excited. And I keep my expectation out there. I'm always looking. I'm always watching. You know, we have secured a room out at the Fairfield Inn and Suites out on County Road 4. And so we have a place to go. But I'm always looking because, you know, we believe that God has a building for us, or we're supposed to build. And so, but you can't buy a building that's not there yet, and you can't buy land that isn't for sale yet. But you see, God is working that all out. And in the middle of that transition, we're going to do what God has asked us to do. And we secured the room out at the Fairfield Inn and Suites. If our building manifests, which has been our prayer from the time, you know, we began to pray into this move, long before we listed the building or anything got for sale, it's like, okay, Lord, you can just start building that now so that when we need it, it's ready. So I don't know if he did. I had some good ideas for him, okay? But in the meantime, we've secured a room, and there, and as I prayed about that and thought about that, you know, we're getting out of the comfort of our four walls. And so it may be uncomfortable because everything's changing. It's new. Everything will be different. But how exciting that we're in a place that we're offering a service on Sunday morning for people who are staying in the hotel, right? Have you thought about the opportunity being out into the community? Is that not where God wants the church? He wants us out and among the people. And so if that's what he has planned for us for a season, we simply say, yes, Lord, right. We'll go. You know, I think Jeff and Pat have set up in places like this before and had church. And so their experience. So we thank God for experienced, capable people on our team, right? Because God adds to us what we need as we fulfill his will. And so when people ask where we're going, we know where we're going. We've got a room secured. And so we're excited about that. But we're always looking. We're always watching for that land or for that building. And, you know, I'm still praying, Lord, I pray you started it when I ask you to. All in God's timing. Because it would be wonderful to move from one building to another. Doesn't that sound comfortable? Oh, yeah. Doesn't that sound like the old way of doing things? If God's doing a new thing, yeah, hold on to your seats, right? Sure.